Do you want to win some free, clean beauty products? Who doesn't? All you have to do is leave a 5-star rating and review of the show on iTunes or Spotify, take a screenshot of your review, and send me a DM. You will be entered into the giveaway, and I will randomly select one winner. If you've already left a rating and review, first of all, thank you from the bottom of my heart. You can still enter. The giveaway closes November 7th, 2022, and I will pop into one of your DMs to let you know that you have won some clean beauty prizes. Good luck. Welcome to Balance Your Life podcast. My name is Megan Farrell, and I am the host of the show. This podcast is designed to inspire and empower you to start and maintain your own wellness journey so you can become the best version of yourself. Let's begin. Happy Halloween, everyone. How timely to have this podcast episode go out on Halloween, because we are talking all about gut health today. So I feel like that is timely with all the chocolate and candy people are likely consuming today. Hey, it's all about balance, truly. But I feel like this podcast episode will really kickstart your desire to take your gut health to the next level. This week on the podcast, I am joined by Jillian Smith. Jillian is the lead registered dietitian for Gut Personal and The Gut Fix, where she helps women restore optimal health through personalized coaching and lab testing. As a functional dietitian specializing in gut health, Jillian empowers women to stop guessing and to get to the root of their gut symptoms. Having struggled with her own gut issues, Jillian not only understands your stomach troubles, but she has the answers to heal from them for good. Jillian knows the frustration that comes with not truly feeling well in your body, and she is on a mission to help change that. Because when you feel good from the inside out, you can live your best life ever. On this episode, we talk about the obvious and subtle signs and symptoms of having poor gut health, recommending testing and labs to run for different budgets, and free steps and things you can implement into your life today to improve your gut health. We also discuss surprising healthy foods that may be contributing to gut issues, the top 3 foods to incorporate into your daily life for optimal gut health, myths about probiotics, the top supplements for gut health, and so much more. Like I said, this episode is the gut health episode, and we are talking all things gut health. You are going to learn so much from this episode and get some really tangible tips in your life to start to implement so you can improve your gut health. One thing I've talked about again and again on this podcast is how depleted we are as a society of minerals. I've had experts, doctors, and practitioners on this podcast all say the same thing. Our soil is so depleted of minerals that as human beings, we are lacking these vital natural resources in our life and bodies. So what I do to counter that is in the mornings, I make my warm lemon water. And then I add BLK drops to the water. It's habit stacking at its finest. I just add 10 to 15 drops in the water and drink it back. There's no taste to it at all, but I know I'm adding 77 natural occurring trace minerals, trace elements, amino acids, and electrolytes to my body. If you haven't listened to the podcast episode I did with the founders of BLK Water, make sure you check that episode out and learn all about the benefits of fulvic acid and their incredible wellness product. If you are ready to start taking BLK, then make sure you use code MEGAN20 to save 20% off of your order. I highly suggest the drops. They are my favorite and so easy to implement into your morning routine. Support the show, save 20% on your order, and take your health and wellness to its natural next level by using code MEGAN20 at checkout. Welcome to the show, Jillian. I am so excited to have you on.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Oh my goodness, I could talk about gut health all day long. So I'm really excited for our chat today.
I would love if you could give our listeners a little bio of who you are and where in the world you're currently joining me from today.
Yes, hello. So my name is Jillian. I am a functional medicine registered dietitian with a focus in gut health, kind of a mouthful. What that means is that I am a registered dietitian who I specialize in functional medicine. So really my aim is to get to the root causes of my clients' imbalances. And I predominantly work with women who struggle with gut issues, things like IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, a lot of bloating, uncomfortable gas, also a lot of fatigue and energy issues, hormone imbalances, because the gut is truly the center of it all, affecting all of those things. So I really work with women on correcting their gut imbalances and optimizing their gut health and their overall well-being.
It's such a diverse topic, even though when you think of gut health, it's like that's one thing, but it goes into so many different sections. And I've had so many different experts and people on the podcast talk about different things, from thyroid health and autoimmune and just overall health and healthy living. And so many of them talk about how so many different diseases and problems are all rooted coming back to the gut and how important it is to heal the gut. So I am very selfishly excited to talk about all things gut health with you. I would love to know, has this always been something you've been passionate about? Was there a catalyst in your life that led you towards wanting to work with women and work in the gut health field?
Yes, totally. So I myself struggled with my own gut issues for so many years. You know, it's funny. I think back to when I was a child, and I think I had gut issues even when I was young. I remember being in elementary school, junior high, and not going to the bathroom every day. I didn't think that, you know, I thought it was normal that women just didn't poop every day. Just thought that was normal. And fast forward, I got into college. I was actually studying nutrition, and I was the healthiest out of all my friends, yet I felt the worst. I had horrible IBS, horrible gut issues. I struggled with a lot of, again, constipation, bloating, horrible gas and stomach pains. I remember going to date night with my boyfriend and having to leave the restaurant to go lay in the back of his car to massage my stomach because I was in so much pain. So it was really taking a toll on me physically, but also mentally and emotionally, it was really taking a toll. So I was bouncing through all the different doctor's appointments. I was getting, you know, all the colonoscopies and all the endoscopies and all the blood work. Everything kept coming back, quote unquote, normal. Doctors telling me, you are the epitome of health. Everything is great. While I'm still sitting there like, okay, but everything is not great. I feel like crap. This is absolutely affecting my life and I need answers. So I graduated from college. I became a functional medicine dietitian. And it was at that point where I really started to learn about this world of functional medicine, where it's really taking it one step further and figuring out why you have gut symptoms in the first place. I was getting put on so many different medications from doctors just to kind of cover up my symptoms, but really they were making things worse. They were just a band-aid and I wasn't interested in just covering up the symptoms. I wanted to figure out, why do I have these symptoms in the first place? So those are really the answers that I was able to discover through functional medicine and diving into some of that functional lab testing. So like stool testing, where you're literally testing your poop, but it is so incredible because it gave me the answers that I was looking for so many years. And I was able to pinpoint exactly, like, no wonder I've been having so many gut issues. No wonder I've been having so much bloat. Look at all this imbalance of bacteria in my gut. So once I was able to address that, it was like a light bulb moment. I have truly healed my gut from the inside out. And I have such more of an appreciation and a trust for my body and a love for my body that I truly just want for all women out there, because I know what it feels like to not have that trust with your body and to almost have a bit of resentment towards your body. And so now being on the other side and helping hundreds of women get to this place as well, I get really passionate. You can probably hear me just talking about it, because I just think it's really important that women understand that you're so deserving of feeling good.
Well, it's like what you were saying too. I think a lot of people will see something on the outside and go, well, you know, they look like they're in good enough shape. They look like they're quote unquote healthy. And there's nothing worse than going, but like, there's something that feels off and I can't quite put my finger on it, but I know something is wrong inside of my body and I feel like I'm doing all the right things, but like, what gives? How did you heal your gut issues. What were those first few steps? And then what did you do afterwards to keep it kind of healed and going to, on this path?
Yes, absolutely. So I would say number one is education. I always tell my clients the thing that's going to precede any sort of change is education, knowing why you're doing what you're doing. So I really immersed myself. I mean, of course, I'm a dietitian, so I had a lot of training in nutrition, but not so much in the functional medicine. So I ended up investing in myself and going into advanced training in the functional medicine space to really learn about these different factors that are impacting the gut. Because when I was going to, you know, the conventional medicine, just my PCP, my primary care physician doctors, they would just tell me, oh, you're constipated, you're bloated, just eat more fiber, drink more water, bada bing, bada boom. And it was like, okay, but that's not working for me. So it was when I started diving into that advanced training that I was realizing, oh my goodness, the impact that my stress was having on my gut, that my thyroid, that my hormones, that my lack of sleep, all of those things really are impacting the gut. And so we have to take a whole body approach. So really getting that nailed into my head was like the really, really big thing that really started to move the needle for me and feeling better and starting to control my stress and getting better sleep and all of those things. But then also doing that testing that I talked about. So of course, getting the foundations in of having a healing diet, reducing stress, all those things. But then if there's some imbalances in the gut, I came to find out that some things can't be out dieted. So you can have the most perfect nutrition, doing everything right. Yet if you have a gut infection, that needs to be addressed. So that's where this testing comes in. And it's kind of like the cherry on top. And you really get an inside look into the bacteria that's growing in your gut, to any pathogens, infections, parasites, inflammation. I mean, it's a huge 5-page printout of information of what's going on in your gut. So having that data and being able to address that and really being able to pinpoint, okay, I need more of this bacteria. I need to clear out some of that bad bacteria, rebalance the microbiome. That's really the secret sauce that got me feeling so much better. And that's the exact process that I lead my clients through because it works.
I think there's so many people in society today that have some sort of gut issues, whether it's something that's chronic, like an IBS, or it's something that not so much chronic or constant, but like, you know, we've all had periods of like gut health issues. You named a couple of them, but besides the obvious, like I have constant bloat that doesn't seem to go away or constipation, what are some other maybe not so obvious signs, maybe more subtle, that signs of someone having gut health issues or imbalances in their gut?
Yes, such a great question. So of course you have the more obvious digestive symptoms, like the bloating, the bathroom issues, the gas. But because the gut is truly the center of all health and it affects so many other systems in the body, gut issues can also look like skin issues. That's a really big one that I see. It can also look like fatigue, just feeling so tired, like getting to 3 p.m. every day and just being like, oh my goodness, I'm crawling to the finish line. It can look like any sort of autoimmune condition. So whether that be Crohn's or colitis or celiac disease or Hashimoto's, because so much of the immune is within the gut. Over 70% of our immune system is within our gut. So if there's any wonkiness going on with the immune system, we got to take a look at what's going on inside of the gut. And so there's a lot of things, as well as just mental wellness. Our gut for creating a lot of those happy neurotransmitters, things like serotonin, trouble. If you have issues with sleeping at night, your gut controls a lot of your circadian rhythm. So there's really so many things, as well as hormones. Gut plays a huge role in our hormone health as well. So as you can see, really everything is going to be impacted by the gut. And so dialing in the gut health is always the first place that I recommend women start. Even if you don't have those digestive symptoms, those obvious digestive symptoms, if you feel tired all the time, if you just know that something is off in your body, start at the level of the gut, because that can be a huge needle mover for you.
I couldn't agree more with you. I think starting with anything with the gut, it's like a domino effect. Once that is in optimal condition, even if it's not quote unquote like a gut related thing, like you would start to notice such differences in other areas of your life where you could then pinpoint if it's an outside thing that's contributing, or if it's something that's more than just gut issues, if it's like thyroid or another type of autoimmune disease that's, you know, a little bit outside of just having a poor gut health. Mm-hmm. I have a two-part question for you, because I can appreciate having a lot of this testing, even in Canada, where we have like quote unquote free healthcare, this stuff is not covered and this stuff can be very, very expensive, these lab tests. So my two-part question is, if someone is on the strictest budget, they're like, I just don't have the finances to run all of these different tests. What is the one test or lab work that you would recommend for a general overall starting to notice that something is off in the gut? And then part B to that is like, if you're like, budget's not an issue, let's do all the things. What are the other types of lab work and blood work that you would do for that type of person?
Yeah, such a great question. So I would even go as far to say is that there's a lot of things that you can be doing for free before even investing in testing. So, you know, I do have a lot of clients who come to me who are just like, I can't do the testing right now. And I'm like, that's totally fine, because there's so many things that we can be doing at a foundations level that are completely free, and you do not need to invest in testing right off the bat until you get these foundations dialed in. Things like your nutrition, your sleep, your stress, your exercise. Those foundational things can be worked on for totally free before even investing in more of that advanced testing. Now, let's say you get all those things dialed in. You're like, okay, I have them all dialed in to a T, still not feeling great. Now, what should I do? That's really where I would say the stool test, because the stool test, that's the one I was just talking about, where you're looking at all the different microbes within the gut. That's where I would start, because the gut's going to be affecting so many things. If you struggle with energy, start at the gut. If you struggle with hormone imbalances, start at the gut, because so many times, especially if you have more of those digestive symptoms like bloating, gas, bathroom issues, we definitely want to correct what's ever going on in the gut, because it's going to affect all of those things. So when I work with clients, I'm always starting at the gut first. Now, let's say we get the gut all addressed, we get it all back into balance, and there's still wonkiness going on with energy, with the adrenals, with hormones. Then that's where part two of your question comes in, where you can dive into more of that advanced testing, which I do with clients as well. And we do a lot of, you know, different hormone testing. I do a lot of adrenal testing. So the adrenals play a really big role in your energy. And if you're somebody who just feels so burned out, so just fatigued and drained and worn out all the time, I do a lot of testing into the adrenals as well. Thyroid testing. So you can start adding on more of those advanced tests, kind of depending on what specific symptoms you're struggling with. But I would always say, if you're looking for one, start at the gut, because it's going to affect all of that stuff anyway.
Are you able to outline what those free like foundation steps are when you said nutrition, sleep? What are some of the things people can start to implement in their life today that would help move the needle forward for them?
Yes. So glad you asked. So I would say, number one, let's talk about stress, because that is such a huge one. You know, I get asked a lot, what's the number one cause that you see to gut issues? And truly it is stress. Just in our modern society, we're all under too much stress. We live in a very go, go, go society where productivity and the grind is highly valued. And unfortunately, especially see this in women, we put ourselves on the back burner. You know, we're grinding in our careers, we're caretaking for our families, we're hustling in a side hustle. And sometimes us and our health can be put onto the back burner. And this really starts to grind down on your gut health. And so first things first, I always say, is start working on your stress, building in some daily relaxation, some you time to bring energy back into you, because your gut will not be able to heal if you're undergoing stress. So stress being number one. Number two, nutrition. Of course, nutrition plays a big role in our gut health and in our overall health. And so what I always say, start here with nutrition, is focusing on more of a whole foods based diet. So what I mean by that is it's more of the foods that come from the ground, as much as possible, trying to avoid those processed foods that come in a package, a box, and trying to do more of those whole foods, like going into the produce section, buying high quality animal meats, if you eat animal meat, lots of nuts and seeds, and trying to transition into more of those foods, less of the processed foods, can be a great first step. And then of course, you know, everyone knows eat your vegetables, but it really is important, because it's those fruits and those veggies, those high fiber foods, which are going to be feeding the good bacteria in your gut and getting those numbers up. So whole food-based diet with a focus on lots of fruits and veggies with your meals as far as the nutrition. And then really making sure that you're sleeping at night. You know, I work with a lot of clients who report, oh yeah, I sleep like 4 to 5 hours. Truly, your body needs more like 8 to 9 quality hours of sleep. If you're either you have trouble falling asleep or you struggle with waking up multiple times in the night, or if you wake up and you still just don't feel rested, that's something to dig into because your body needs that rest in order to repair and heal your gut. So that's really some of the foundational things that we can spend a lot of time working on and really perfecting those areas that can make a huge difference in somebody's gut health.
The sleep issue. When people say to me, I'm just that type of person who can get by on like 4 to 5 hours of sleep, I cringe inside. I'm like, no. You've trained yourself to think that that's how you are, but no, truly the body needs, I mean, minimum, I would say 7 hours, but yeah, more of that 8 to 9 hours. And it literally, I weep inside when people are like, oh, I do like 4 to 5 hours. And I'm not talking about like the new mom who's got a newborn. Yes, there's always an adjustment period. And I want to be very clear about that. But I, you know, the average person who is like, nah, I've been doing it this way for 20 years. And it's like, oh no, that's please improve your sleep.
Yes, absolutely.
What are some, maybe surprising foods that you feel like contribute to people having poor gut issues? And I know we talked about, you know, I hope the obvious is like, please reduce your refined sugars, if not cut it out altogether, but also, you know, life, like have the cookie, have the birthday cake once in a while. But yes, we're cutting down on our packaged foods, our processed food, but maybe, you know, some health, quote unquote, healthy foods, but people just, for some people, it's a struggle for them and causing more gut health issues than not.
Oh my gosh, big time. So there's a lot of foods out there that might be deemed quote unquote healthy, which I strongly advise my clients against, especially if you struggle with a lot of gut issues. So there are things out there called sugar, alcohols, artificial sweeteners, and they're used a lot of times in things like protein powders or protein bars or energy bars. And the reason being is that they can sweeten up these foods without adding sugar and without adding additional calories. So the manufacturers are able to print sexy things on their labels like sugar-free. They're able to make the nutrition label look really nice because they can keep the sugars down. But the problem, if you have gut issues, those type of ingredients can wreak havoc on your gut. And I know when I was struggling with gut issues, once I discovered what these sugar alcohols and these artificial sweeteners were, and I started avoiding them, it made a huge difference. So for the sugar alcohols, you're looking for things that are like xylitol, mannitol, erythritol. Any of those ingredients that end in the OL is typically where I tell my clients, flip that label over, look at the ingredients list, and look for any of those sugar alcohols because they can really wreak havoc on your gut health. And they're frequently in those quote unquote healthy foods, as well as artificial sweeteners, of course, like the Splendas and the Sweeten Loves and all of those, really hard on the gut. So those are some that I always say, start getting some feelers out there, because anytime you see those on a label, definitely should raise some red flags. And I typically recommend putting it back. That's where having a more whole food-based diet can be so helpful, because you're not going to be getting those ingredients in there. So that's a really big one that I see. I would also say, of course, we all know alcohol is really hard on the gut. And maybe if you're somebody who struggled with gut issues, you find that after a night out with your girlfriends, your gut is a mess the next day. Alcohol really can increase inflammation. It decreases your body's ability to break down the foods that you're eating. So a lot of my clients will say the morning after drinking alcohol, I have like really loose stools and I feel like my gut is just a mess. And it decreases your body's digestive enzymes. So it makes digestion harder. So that's another one. Totally not necessary to completely cut out alcohol. I mean, I love a good spicy margarita myself, but just being mindful of that could also be contributing to your gut issues if you struggle a lot with them.
When you were talking about artificial sweeteners, the one thing that came to mind is sometimes, you know, stevia is this popular kind of alternative right now. And I personally, like when I was cutting out sugar from my coffee, I switched to straight up stevia too. It wasn't Splenda. It wasn't anything else. Mm-hmm. That's like, it's one thing. And you look at the back of the ingredient list and go, there's like 52 ingredients here that, you know, I probably would be better off at sugar at this point. What is your stance on stevia as like an alternative to sugar? Is it like a long-term thing? Is it a short-term thing if you're trying to get off of sugar? If that isn't something, like, I see that a lot in protein powders because it helps sweeten things. Like, what is your stance on an alternative like that?
Yeah, such a great question. So I actually don't have anything against stevia. Monk fruit's another one, because they're coming from a natural plant. So they're still coming from a natural source, as opposed to those artificial sweeteners, which are literally created in a lab. So they're a little bit harder on the body to, you know, be able to recognize some of those ingredients. Whereas stevia, it's coming from a stevia leaf, right? It's coming from the plant. They're just extracting it. So I find that in my clients, it's usually a lot easier to tolerate. And so that's what I typically say is, if I'm having clients who are trying to get off of the sugar, let's say, you know, we do a stool test on them, we find that they have a big yeast overgrowth going on in their gut. This is an instance where I would really start talking to this client about reducing their sugar intake, because sugar will feed that yeast overgrowth. So in this circumstance is really where I bring in the conversation of, okay, let's start pulling out the added sugars in your diet. Let's really start paying attention to sugar that you're intaking, and instead replacing it with something like stevia or monk fruit, because those things aren't going to be feeding that yeast overgrowth, but you can still, you know, get the sweet that you're after. And I would way more prefer my clients do one of those sweeteners as opposed to the artificial sweeteners or the sugar alcohols.
And then on the flip side, so we've talked about some things that you should be avoiding in your diet. Are there like a blanket, because I can appreciate everybody's different and some foods work better for others than others, but is there like a top three or five foods that you think most people, I won't say everyone, but most people should include in their diet that you think would really, really help heal their gut or at least support a healthy gut?
Yes. Oh my goodness. Absolutely. So number one, I would say cruciferous vegetables. So the things that fall under this family are going to be like your broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, kale. The cruciferous veggie family is so, so health beneficial for a million different reasons. I mean, of course, it's really good for the gut because it's helping to feed the good gut bacteria. They're high in fiber, all the things. They're really great for your hormone health and making sure that you're keeping good hormone balance. So the cruciferous veggies are one that I always recommend my clients start increasing and bringing more into their rotation. I always try to have my clients set a goal of trying to get one cruciferous veggie with each meal, whether that be you're putting some cauliflower rice into your smoothie or you're throwing some broccoli in with your salmon. But trying to get in those cruciferous veggies as much as possible is so, so beneficial for your health. They're just very nutrient dense. Another one I would say is, if you're trying to heal your gut, you have to be getting in some good quality protein. So your body is going to be using more amino acids, which amino acids are the things that make up our proteins, and they require more when they're trying to heal something. So if you've had a lot of gut imbalances and you're trying to heal, you have to bring in these amino acids in order to heal your gut. And so having high quality protein sources, so whether you're doing grass-fed beef, wild-caught salmon, pasture-raised chicken, getting in some high quality proteins can be really, really helpful. And I know not everybody is a meat eater. And so making sure that maybe you're working with somebody or working with a dietitian to make sure that if you are a vegetarian, that you're still intaking adequate amounts of protein if you're trying to heal your gut, because it can be a little bit more challenging if you're not eating meat, but of course, not impossible by any means. So I would say those are two big ones. Of course, really thinking about your colorful fruits and vegetables. And I mean pigment rich. So how I always describe it is, think about increasing your intake of foods that are the same color on the outside as they are in the inside. So take, for example, a beet. When you slice into a beet, it's the same color on the inside. So it's very pigment rich. It's going to be more rich in those polyphenols, those nutrients that are really great for your gut health. So anytime we can bring in those pigment, dark colored fruits and veggies, the better.
I love that so much. I think those are, I don't want to say they're like vague tips, because they're not. They're very, like, they're so informative, but I think sometimes people get so caught up in like, it has to be this very specific type of protein and only this protein. And it's like, find good quality protein, whether that's beef or salmon or chicken, or like you said, if you're a vegan or vegetarian, finding an alternative. And I personally feel like you have to consume a lot of alternative protein if you are vegan and vegetarian, because I feel like it's just harder to get if you're not eating animal protein. And I think that's where having a dietitian or coach could be very helpful, because I feel truly like most vegan and vegetarians don't get enough healthy proteins. I had a question that I feel like you're the perfect person to ask. And this is the difference between whey protein and plant-based protein. Because I've heard the argument for both. And I'm always like, man, if someone like it's different for everybody. But, you know, I know they say whey can be really, really good because it's a little bit more of a like animal protein type of protein, but it can be very hard on people's stomach. On the flip side, plant-based protein is really good for you because it's plant-based and it's a little bit more accessible to a lot of people. But there's also this argument that there's more heavy metals in plant-based protein. Where do you stand when it comes to different types of proteins?
Yeah, such a great question. So in short, it depends. And I am not for or against either one of the two. So I will say that off the bat, I think both of them can be great options depending on the person and what their goals are and what they're able to tolerate. So I do love whey protein, being sure that, you know, you're always shopping for good quality protein powders, because I'm honestly not sure if it's like this in Canada, but in the States, the supplement industry is not regulated by the FDA, and protein powders, they fall under the umbrella of supplements. So basically protein powders are not regulated. So shopping for high quality protein powders is just as important as shopping for high quality supplements, so that you know what you're getting and that it's good, clean ingredients. So whether you're doing plant-based or whey or anything else, making sure that you're shopping for quality, third-party tested, all those things. But I do like whey proteins because they can be better absorbed, more bioavailable inside of the body. So you can reap more benefits. This is one that I typically recommend to my clients who work out a lot, who do a lot of heavy lifting. I find that whey-based proteins can be really beneficial because you're just going to be absorbing more of those amino acids. Plant-based proteins, though, I also really like, because some people can't tolerate whey protein. I work with a lot of people who have, a dairy allergy, or they just can't tolerate whey, which is super, super common, especially in those who struggle with gut issues. And so that's when a plant-based protein could be really beneficial. And there's so many different kinds out there. Yes, you're right. There is the likelihood of having, you know, the heavy metals in there. And so again, shopping for the high quality, and I have certain brands that I just recommend because I know, like, and trust them. And as long as you're shopping for the quality and they're making sure that they're testing for those sort of things, I wouldn't be too concerned.
Can you list some of those brands that you absolutely love? Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. So the ones that I really, really like are, I like Truvani. So this is a great protein powder, great clean ingredients. It's a plant-based. So I like Truvani. I like Just Ingredients. And I love the Be Well by Kelly protein powder, actually. So Kelly Levine came out with a protein powder. She is a holistic nutritionist as well. And she made a great protein powder. I also really like New Zest. And Vital Proteins is great. So I use Vital Proteins a lot for their collagen peptides. And I'm a big fan of collagen peptides because, number one, they're easy to just add to things like your coffee. You'll never even know it's there. Collagen's really healing for the gut. But collagen is also not a complete protein. So don't have this be your only protein source in the day.
I actually didn't know collagen was good as a, I know you said don't use it as a protein supplement, but I didn't realize it was good for you, other than like you hear the very basic, like it's good for your skin, hair, and nail health, and it's like, oh cool, that's fantastic. I didn't realize it was so good for you on a protein level.
Yes, so depending on what type of collagen peptides you're purchasing, but I'll just shout out Vital Proteins because that's the one that I use. But in a serving, it's 18 grams of protein, which for my ladies, very, very, very general recommendations. I recommend anywhere from like 20 to 30 grams per meal. Sometimes at breakfast, I like to do closer to 30. So a serving of collagen peptides in your coffee, that's going to help you make 18 of those grams, which can be really, really helpful for somebody, especially if they're struggling to get in enough protein in their day. That can be a really easy hack.
Let's talk about dairy, because I feel like that is a topic that a lot of people, they struggle with dairy, or it's kind of like, oh, it doesn't really, really phase me. And yet they talk about things like bloating or not quite having all the energy. And for me, when I used to be that person that was like, oh, dairy doesn't really bother me. I didn't consume a lot of it, but I was also like, doesn't bother me. So, you know, if I have it, I have it. But there came a point in my fitness journey where I, even though I was working out and doing yoga and all these things, I always looked like I was like just a little bit pregnant. You know what I mean? Like there was just like, just a little bit of in my lower intestines, like a little bit of bloating. And the moment I cut out dairy, it totally went away. And now I feel like once in a while, if I do have dairy, I almost, it doesn't faze me because I'm, you know, I'm just used to not having it anymore. And I feel like my body can better get rid of it and process it and eliminate it. But that was one thing that I was like, it's not a problem for me. Realized it was a problem, cut it out, and was like, wow, this really did make a difference.
Yeah. So dairy is one of those where it really depends. Some people have no problems with dairy and some people definitely benefit from pulling it out. So when it comes to dairy, I'm always talking my clients through symptoms, and I actually have a screening process that we're kind of working through to maybe see if it would be appropriate to do an elimination diet of dairy, just pulling it out for a few weeks to kind of see how things go, bringing it back in and monitoring for symptoms. So, I mean, that's something that anybody can do. If you suspect, like, I wonder if dairy is playing a role with my gut issues, because it totally can be. It absolutely can be affecting that. And so you can always try pulling it out for, you know, a couple of weeks to a couple months and then reintroducing it and just monitoring to see how you feel. So anybody can really do that and see. What I find is that some of the conventional dairy, the conventionally raised cows that don't maybe have the highest quality, those can sometimes be more detrimental to the gut, but also just overall health. So I always recommend trying to do grass-fed dairy, organic, raw whenever possible, because then you're going to be getting a higher quality dairy and maybe find that you can tolerate that better. It's always just worth a try.
Amazing. Thank you so much for speaking on that. I want to talk about there, you know, kind of the hot trend now is everybody's adding probiotics into their life. It's like, mm-hmm. just take a probiotic and you'll be fine. And I think probiotics can actually be really great for you. But I feel like people are like, oh, if I take a probiotic, I can go and have McDonald's and stuff afterwards. And I've taken my probiotic, so it's fine, which is not the case. Can you speak, like, are you a fan of probiotics? If someone is starting out on healing their gut health, do you think that they should be taking one right away? Or is it more important to heal the gut first and then start to introduce a probiotic into their lives? Like, where do you stand when it comes to probiotics?
Oh my gosh, such a great question. So in short, I love probiotics. They can be super, super helpful. But, and this is a big but, if you struggle with gut issues, diving just into any old probiotic, just picking one off the shelf or taking one that maybe your friend recommended, can actually make gut issues worse. So many, many times when I'm working with clients, I have a lot of clients who come into me and they're taking just some random probiotic and they're kind of like, I don't know, but you know, I went to my doctor, I told them I have gut issues. They told me to take a probiotic and this is kind of where I'm at. Well, we do some stool testing and sometimes there can be a huge overgrowth of bacteria going on in the gut, which is causing all those symptoms. You adding a probiotic to that is not always going to be the most beneficial because it can be like adding fuel to the fire. So for my ladies with a lot of gut issues, I usually don't even start with a probiotic. I focus on a lot of gut healing and rebalancing before adding in a probiotic. Adding in a probiotic is actually one of the last steps that I do when I'm working with clients. So there are certainly different strains of bacteria that are good for different reasons. So taking a probiotic that's personalized to you is so important because what works for one person may not be working for you. There's so many different strains of probiotics out there. It can feel really overwhelming. And at the end of the day, some strains are better for things than others. And so working with somebody, figuring out exactly what's appropriate for you is the best way to go. I have the company where I see clients, but we also have a sister company that actually does personalized gut healing supplements because we are finding that there's so many people out there who are struggling with confusion around supplements and probiotics. And so we do have a company where you can take a quiz and we can actually personalize the probiotic for you because that way you're knowing that you're taking a probiotic that's actually appropriate for you and is actually going to make a difference in your health.
No, I think that's so vital. It's I think it's like a lot of things, even if you think of, and I don't love the word diet, mm-hmm. but diet essentially, like what works for one person doesn't always work for someone else. And even you had mentioned, I can never say the word, like cruciferous vegetables. And yet I also have a friend who, you know, was doing all the things, like was eating all the broccoli, and it actually turned out that she struggled with digesting broccoli. So like that wouldn't be appropriate for her. So I can completely understand how there's different probiotics that would be different for different people and different goals and different aims. Is there like any other supplements that you truly feel like are really beneficial for not only gut health, but for just health and wellness overall? Is there like across the board, you see people that are really low in this, and so a lot, you recommend this supplement a lot of the time, something that we're missing in our day-to-day life, just kind of overall that you think is a really great supplement to introduce into someone's health and wellness?
Yes. So truly my favorite of all time is magnesium. Over 90% of us are deficient in the mineral magnesium. And magnesium is such an important nutrient for over 300 different functions within the body. It controls a lot. And having a magnesium deficiency can really affect other areas of your health. There's a reason why so many of us are deficient in magnesium. I mean, we could have an entire discussion on this alone, but there's a lot of reasons why people are deficient in it. Number one, it's hard to get through food, so it's not really plentiful in our food supply. Number two, just modern agriculture, our soil has just been depleted of those natural minerals. And number three, magnesium is one of the first nutrients to go in times of stress. So when, you know, in our modern society, when we are so go, 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 when we're close to environmental toxins all the time, our body is to kind of offset those imbalances, then that's where deficiencies can come from. Especially if you have gut issues, it makes it really difficult to absorb magnesium. So it just is kind of furthering the issue. So starting on a good magnesium supplement is really important. However, not all magnesium is created equal. There's a lot of different forms of magnesium out there, and some I do not like, some I really do like. So the kind that I like is called magnesium glycinate, and taking that, I love taking it before bed because it can really help with stress and relaxation, helps with better sleep. It also helps with regular bowel movement. So if you're somebody who struggles with constipation and not going every single day, definitely starting up a magnesium supplement can help because it's going to help relax you, helps you sleep better, manages your stress and anxiety, and also helps you go poop every day.
I actually am so glad you brought that up because when you mentioned magnesium, I was like, I have a part A question of this because there's so many different types of magnesium. And there's a brand I'm thinking of right off the top of my head. I see a lot of people talking about is like a magnesium citrate, but I also know that that can be really upsetting to a lot of people's stomachs. And then you hear magnesium glycerinate is what you said. And then there's like magnesium L-threonate or something like mm-hmm. that. Like it gets very confusing. I actually Googled like, what is the magnesium you should have? And there were like 12 different magnesiums that came up. And I was like, I didn't even know there were 12 of them. Like I was talking about three in my head and which one I should be doing.
Yeah, there's a lot of them out there, which that's where it can feel confusing. And I totally get it. And that's where I'm always like, reach out to me if anyone has questions on this sort of thing, because it can be really confusing, but it really is important to be empowered with the education behind which one you're choosing, because you can make things worse. Like you said, there's certain forms of magnesium that are not absorbed into the body, which means they go undigested through your gut, which causes a lot of distress, a lot of discomfort, a lot of bloating. It can cause diarrhea, not a fun time. On the flip side, there's some forms that are incredible. They're very well absorbed in the body. They have so many benefits for our health, and I'm a huge fan of them. So making sure that you're choosing the magnesium glycinate, I love that one. That one's my favorite one, but there's some other forms that I like as well. So it just kind of depends what you have going on, but being sure that you're paying attention to the form of magnesium that you're getting is super important.
Is there any other healing, either foods or supplements or things that somebody can be taking if they know without having these tests done right away, maybe they're just waiting for finances, or maybe they're just waiting for, you know, their appointment for their doctor that's scheduled, you know, so far in advance. But if someone was like, today, I want to start healing my gut, where do I start? Is there some, you did give us some foods to recommend, but is there anything else that you haven't mentioned that you feel like would be a good place for someone to start healing their gut?
Yeah, absolutely. So if, you know, you're not ready to do the investment into testing, say, I know the testing, unfortunately, it's not usually covered by insurance and it can be a bit of a financial investment. So if you're not quite in that place yet, if you're really working on the nutrition, like we've been talking about, if you're working on the stress, like we were talking about, and the sleep, like we were talking about, and you really are working on all of those things, starting on some healing supplements can be really beneficial because it's going to be far less of an investment than the testing, but it can really get you what you need to start feeling better. So like I said, we have, you know, a sister company to our testing company where you can get these personalized supplements. So it's called Gut Personal, and I help people figure out which supplements are going to be best for them. So we have tons of different probiotics. We have the magnesium. We have things like L-glutamine and immunoglobulins and vitamin D and all these other supplements that can be so, so helpful for rebalancing the gut, healing up any of the inflammation, cooling things down, settling the immune system. So that can be a great place to start as well. It's just start on some healing supplements. For many people, that's all they'll need. For some people, they'll need a little bit more, and then that's when you can start talking about some testing. But maybe getting out some healing supplements would be so, so great for you.
Are there any of your very own wellness practices that you do either in your daily life, or it could be weekly or monthly, that you feel like support you on your health and wellness journey? Are you doing meditation daily? Are you getting a massage to help with detoxing the body on a monthly basis? Anything that's not necessarily related to gut health, but you feel like serves you in your overall health and wellness journey?
100%. The first thing that came to my mind was my morning routines. I am a strong believer in having a morning routine, kind of like what we were talking about in the very beginning, bringing energy back into yourself, carving out, even if it's just 5-10 minutes each morning, that's better than nothing, but some time to bring energy back into yourself before pouring out into others throughout your day. So that's something that I've really implemented. I'd say maybe in like the last year, I've gotten pretty serious about it. And now I can't imagine my days without my morning routines, and the days that maybe I oversleep or I don't get up and I don't do those morning routines, but the rest of my day feels really, really off. And so I always like to start my day with an outside walk to get some of that sunshine into my eyeballs. That's really important for regulating our circadian rhythm, making us feel awake and motivated for the day. So getting sunlight into your eyes as soon as you wake up is really important. I love to do some journaling to really, I always bring back to gratitude. I believe that gratitude is one of the highest vibrations of energy. And if we can just take a moment to recognize all the things we have to be grateful for, that's another practice that I do every morning. And truly, so much of this is going to be impacting your gut health. And I know that can seem a little out there. And some people are like, okay, how is showing gratitude fixing my gut? But there's such a huge connection, that gut-brain connection. It really reduces your stress and anxiety and just makes you feel good in your body. And it strengthens that mind-body connection, right? Which is really, really important when we're going on any sort of healing journey.
No, I think it's so fabulous. And it's, even if you think of like, not necessarily like how gratitude can impact it, it's if you think of the people who eat really healthy, but they stress about counting calories or I eat this, I have to counter this. It's like you're almost doing yourself such a disservice. Like, you are eating healthy and you're taking away all of the good benefits of it because you are stressing so much over it. And to find, I'm a huge believer in gratitude. And I think there's a reason why a lot of the, you know, the happier people in the world, you know, they either don't get diseases, or if they do get diseases, they bounce back so quickly. And it's because I think they have such a positive outlook on things and this positive attitude that the body responds to it in an incredible, miraculous way.
I completely, completely agree. And, you know, it's something that everybody can start practicing and people can actually feel it. It just feels good in your body. And the more times you do it, the better. And it really is so important just for our overall health. I mean, us as human beings, we need to feel happy, and it's really, really health beneficial to be happy.
If you could give one person, or, you know, one recommendation, whether it's a everyday smoothie somebody should be making, or a meal that if, you know, if someone's like, I'm not a great cook, I don't know what it takes to really, when it comes to nutrition, I just need somebody to tell me, eat this, you know, I'm not going to say every single day, because I believe in the
process of variety, but like generally speaking, if someone was like, could you just tell me one dish that I could make every single day that would hit and check all the boxes that you were talking about that would give me my nutrition, that would help me feel better? Is there like a dish that you recommend, or like a smoothie that you're like, just blend this all together and on a daily basis and you'll be good to go?
I mean, yeah, I am a big fan of smoothies because they're so easy and you can throw in so many nutrient-dense foods into a single smoothie. And so, you know, you can add in, of course, like, you know, some fruit, you can add in some vegetables and you can get creative with them. You can add in zucchini, you can add in spinach, you can add in the cauliflower rice like we were talking about. I also love to add in some herbs, like some cilantro. Those are very nutrient-dense. And so you can put those in there to add some nice flavor. Right now we're kind of getting into the fall month, so I love adding in different spices and like turmeric and cinnamons. And so you can really, really get creative and just make a hodgepodge of health promoting ingredients into a smoothie. Another thing that I would say is really starting to focus more on meals, less on all day snacking, all day grazing. That was a big thing that was a huge game changer in my healing journey. And I see it a lot with my clients as well. But, you know, sometimes, especially as women, can be like little birds, we're just eating little things all day long, little nibbles of food all day long. And that can be really hard on the gut. And so really trying to think about, okay, I'm going to start consolidating these things into more meals. So doing, you know, 3 to 4 meals per day, maybe 1 to 2 snacks in there as needed, and really not skipping meals. I know that some people are like, you know what, my coffee is my breakfast today. And I'm a pretty big stickler on don't skip your meals. Have a nutritious breakfast. Make sure you're getting in plenty of protein in the mornings, especially. And again, smoothies can be a great way to do that because you can add in your favorite protein powders.
I love that you talk about smoothies. It's one thing, like I'm very disciplined and due diligent when it comes to like my fitness journey and my workouts and my yoga, my meditation, my morning routine. But nutrition was something that I always kind of struggled with. And I'm somebody, if you give me all the vegetables, like I will make the vegetables, I will eat all the vegetables, but fruit was one of the things that I used to kind of struggle with. Like I wouldn't necessarily sit down and like eat a plate of fruit. So I was like, well, I'll just blend it all into a smoothie. I'm getting everything that I kind of need in one go. And then you kind of learn the habit stack. Like I'm like, oh, I'll add my collagen powder in, and then I'll add my turmeric in and chia and flax seeds. Like it's just so easy just to huck it all into a blender, blend it up and drink it back as a smoothie and call it a day because you've done something that's so good for yourself.
100%. And smoothies, they can be something that you make ahead of time. Like you make little baggies, hold all the ingredients. So all you have to do in the morning is dump it into a blender, add in some of your favorite almond milk or water, blend it up, and you're good to go. So it can take literally seconds. It doesn't need to take a lot of time, especially for those people who are like, I don't really have time in the morning to make breakfast. It's like, great. Prep up a smoothie bag the night before, have it in the morning, and you're good to go.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good, I just kind of throw everything in like my supplement drawer and in the freezer. But yeah, even just to meal prep on like a Sunday or something and just blend, like put everything into baggies and make it so seamless. It's like this idea of, I can't remember who was talking about it, but you know, like we make so many decisions in a day that if you can do something to take away those decisions so you don't get overwhelmed by all of these decisions we have to make, like it just becomes so automatic and like almost like a habit stacking type of situation, if you will.
Yep, absolutely.
Is there anything I haven't asked you that you want the audience to know about? Whether it's a tip or trick that you have found invaluable, a brand that you can't get enough of, anything at all that you feel like has been really instrumental and transformative in your gut healing journey?
Yeah, you know, I think, and it might seem a little woo-woo, a little lofty there, but the mindset, your mindset around your healing and your deservingness to feel good is something I get really passionate about. We were kind of talking about this in the beginning of our conversation, but you know, so many times I find that when I work with women, especially, I predominantly work with women. And so I typically just always say women, but this goes for men as well, that so many times almost there's a lack of deservingness to feel good. And sometimes women can think, okay, you know, I don't know if I have the time, the energy, the finances to invest in myself. And that's really just basically what you're saying is that you don't deserve to feel really good in your body. And that's where I come in. I'm like, that is such BS. And I really, really am trying to spread the message of you are so deserving to feel good in your body. And, you know, I I have such an appreciation for the human body in general. It's such a miraculous miracle. And when I see people just, you know, kind of hating on their bodies and not appreciating all the things that it has to do, I really want to be able to help and help people feel better in their bodies, because you deserve to feel good. And at the end of the day, I want everybody to know that.
I don't think it's too woo-woo at all. I really, really do believe in the mind-body connection. And I think there's also this misconception in our society that, like, that's just how it is. If you have IBS, it's like, that's the cards you were dealt. You just learn to deal with it. Or, you know, like my favorite is like after pregnancy is like, oh, you'll just pee every time you sneeze. And it's like, no, like we are not supposed to do that. There is a way to fix this, but you have to take the personal responsibility. I think that's what we miss a lot of in society, is like, there's this lack of personal responsibility of like, if you do have gut health issues, no, it's not necessarily your fault. It might be on some levels, but it, you know, we live in a society that's very toxic, and you might not have been brought up to eat vegetables and fruits and stuff. So yeah, it might not be completely your fault, but you can absolutely do something about healing it and to fixing your life.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That's something that I say a lot, actually, is you do have the ability to do something about it. And so, you know, really taking that step, being an advocate for yourself, because especially if you're going to the doctors and everything's quote unquote normal, and, you know, they're saying, oh, you're just a mom, you're supposed to be tired. Oh yeah, you just had a baby. Like, yeah, you're supposed to feel like absolute garbage. And it's like, no, not the case at all. And so being an advocate for yourself, knowing that if you feel off in your body, that you are right, that there is something going on and you deserve to figure out what that is. So seeking out the support of somebody who will be able to help you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jillian, before I send everybody to check out your work and to follow you online, is there a book, podcast, or resource that has brought you incredible value that you want to leave with the audience? It does not have to be related to gut health. It can be anything at all that you have found invaluable.
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to shout out my favorite book of all time. It's called A Happy Pocket Full of Money. Not health related at all, but I know you were saying some of your listeners are entrepreneurs, and so this could be an amazing resource. And it truly is my favorite book. It absolutely changed my life. And so I love telling people about it.
Amazing. Jillian, if people want to follow along with you online, if they want to work with you, if they just want to see what you're up to, where can everybody go and find you?
Yeah. So Instagram really is the best place to connect with me. So my Instagram is just Jillian with a J, JillianSmith.RD. And then also, if anyone is interested in the testing that I've been talking about, the company where we do the testing is called The Gut Fix. And that Instagram is just the.gut.fix. And so I'm on both accounts all the time. So if anyone ever has any questions, I'm always in the DMs and love connecting with people.
Beautiful. I will make sure everything is linked in the show notes. Thank you so much for this conversation. This has been so much fun.
This has been so amazing. Thank you for having me.
If you love this podcast episode, spread the love by sharing this with your friends and family, share it out on social media, and don't forget to give it a 5-star rating and review. From the bottom of my heart, I am so grateful that you are here. Until next time.